If death is game over, then God lied. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. All these died in faith, not having received the promises, we read in Hebrews 11. So either the Almighty reneged on his word to his most devoted servants, or they weren't after their best life now. The writer of Hebrews invites us to share in the adventure undertaken by Abraham and many others, to enter into a kind of faith that doesn't die when we do.
In Revelation chapter 1, John, he saw the heavens and earth burn up. In chapter 21, he sees a new heaven and earth, first heaven, first earth pass away, the sea no longer existent. John sees the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God, prepared like a bride. And you can read the rest of it. Now that is so important. Look what happens at verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had held the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came and spoke to me. Come, John, I want to show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. He then carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And you go on and read. Go on and read the rest of it. Almost the rest of the book of Revelation is all this private interview John gets. John gets to go walk the streets of gold. John gets to go and listen to the gushing waters of that pure river of life that flows out. He got to smell the fragrance of the tree of life with its various fruits for various seasons. And God wanted to be sure that you and I, who received this marvelous book called the Bible, that we had a concrete, exact, specific description, identity of that city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God, that Abraham anticipated. Abraham, 2,000 years before Christ. Abraham. For 4,000 years, that city has been in heaven, where it is tonight. And someday, John tells us, it's going to leave that place in heaven, and it's going to descend and find location in relationship to a brand new earth, newer than the earth that Noah discovered at the end of the flood. Better than the earth was for Adam and Eve. An earth with no sea, no sun, no sin, no sorrow, no serpent. Now, if I were back home, that would have brought a raging amen. But I understand we're among sophisticated people. I want you to see that Abraham, 4,000 years ago, in following by faith the promise made to him by God, anticipated, was looking forward to, and was walking toward that city where God is the architect and builder, has four foundations. Incredible. And that's the basis then for verse 13, where it talks about all these died in faith, having received the promises. Abraham knew aspects of the promises. Abraham knew that out of his loins a special child will be born, and that that child would receive the birthright blessing of this covenant. He knew that. And he knew that that child would have a child, and from that child, 12 sons would be born. Abraham knew those things. How did he know them? He knew them because he trusted God, because he believed God. He knew that that whole family of his would move to Egypt and be there for 400 years. He knew that Egypt would eventually make them slaves and make their living miserable. He knew that God would send a leader to bring them out of captivity, out of Egypt, from under Pharaoh's thumb, into a land where he slept the last half of his life every night. He knew that. But that wasn't the end. That wasn't the end. Abraham knew that beyond that, those who were his seed would eventually be used by God to produce one whom we call Messiah, and that one, through his death and resurrection, would produce an invitation to a heavenly city, four square, with foundations whose architect and builders God. Abraham knew that. How much do you know about the future? How much are you prisoner to the present? It's always pleasant to have people talk about my interest in eschatology, the study of what the Bible says about end times. But frankly, sometimes I want to say, how can you not be interested? This is your future. This is what God saved you to become, to enjoy. This is what God's plan for humans is all about. This is why there was a Garden of Eden in the first place. This is why there was an Adam and then an Eve in the first place. All of that was foundation to and leads to this incredible future in a city where God is architect and builder. Now turn back to Hebrews chapter 11. Look with me at the last verse. Look. Last verse for Hebrews chapter 11. Here he summarizes a whole bunch more people who demonstrated faith in their life, who did things and who suffered things because of their faith, their confidence, their assurance of who God was and God would keep his promises. You see that? Now look what it says. Verse 39. All these were approved through their faith. That is, they did things in response to God's promises and revelation, which brought them approval from God, which brought them grace from God to forgive them of their sins, which brought them righteousness from God through the incredible death of God the Son and his resurrection. All of these people that you read in chapter 11, all of these were approved through their faith, but they did not receive what was promised. Why? Since God had provided something better for, read it, us, you. You are here tonight benefiting from the grace of God because Abraham, 4,000 years ago, believed God. You are here tonight because Noah built an ark, believed God. You are here tonight. I am here tonight. Because Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain. Do you get it? Do you see it? The summation of chapter 11 tells us this is not just about dust and sandals. It's not just about journeys covering land. It's about the unfolding of the redemptive plan of God for all ages, and it consummates out there in the future. And the reason God hasn't consummated it before now is because he wanted you to be part of it. Think of that. How many times did the Hebrew people go to bed at night under great despair? Oh, God, take us out of here. God, do something. If he had, you wouldn't be part of it. If our lives do not reflect that kind of faith, then we're living in vain. Because the purpose of our lives is to pass the truth off to others by exampling it, demonstrating it, living it, loving it, sharing it, prayerfully seeking to have it impact the lives of others so that they might be part of this growing mass, this growing tribe, this growing multitude of earthbound people who are redeemed by the grace of God, made heirs of God through Jesus Christ, and inherit eternity with him. That's why we're here. Abraham wasn't just there to move from up there to Ur down to Beersheba and live in a tent. Do you get it? Faith isn't just, oh, I believe that Jesus is God, and I believe he died on the cross for my sins, which is true, and I trust him as my Savior and receive him the gift of eternal life, which is promise. It's infinitely bigger than that. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, if you have exercised biblical faith in the grace and mercy of Almighty God, you're part of a huge plan. You're part of a huge deal. You're part of the biggest deal God has ever thought into being. And your life has incredible significance to that plan. I got to quit. Can we go back to where we started? Oh, I wanted to show you one other verse. Let me show you. The author's been leading us up to this all along. Turn all the way back to chapter 1, verse 1. Look at chapter 1, verse 1. We're reminded there in chapter 1, verse 1, that God spoke in past times to the fathers through the prophets. We're told in verse 2, in the last days he spoke to us by his son. Look, he has spoken to us in these last days by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. It all belongs to Jesus. You get that? When the writer is trying to take the eyes of his first readers away from the magnificent beings we call angels and refocus them on the Son, Jesus Christ, look what he says, chapter 2, verse 5. For he, that's God, for God has not subjected to angels the world to come, and it's still coming, not here yet. God has not subjected to angels the world to come that we are talking about. That's chapter 2 in the book. The author is saying, I'm talking about things future. I'm talking about things out there in the future. I'm talking about God's ultimate redemptive plan. I'm trying to explain to you in detail what God has said to us in his Son, by his Son, through his Son, after he finished his work of redemption on the earth and went back to sit on the right hand of the Father, and the Father said, you sit there until I make your enemies your footstool. What does that mean? It means he's going to deal in judgment with his enemies. He's going to deal in grace with his sons. Which are you? Your son? Oh, I pray you are. Somewhere the evangelical church got off track. We got to thinking that when you come forward and receive Jesus as your Savior, that is so good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now you're going to have abundant life, and you're going to go to heaven when you die. And that's all true. That's not a drop in the bucket compared to what you receive by faith in Jesus Christ. It's infinitely more than that. Infinitely more. And what we call eschatology, what we talk about when we talk about the end times, we talk about the last days, we're talking about when God the Father says to the Son, okay, Son, you can stand up now and get your enemies and deal with them. Well, look at chapter 10. Look at chapter 10 and verse 13. Look, start at verse 12, 10:12. This man, talking about Jesus, after offering one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. That's where he is now. He is now waiting. Waiting. What for? Jesus Christ is waiting until his enemies are made his footstool. That's next. And what happens after his enemies are made his footstool? He wraps the whole heavens and earth that we have now up, ignites them, they disappear in a puff of smoke. And he creates a brand new heavens and a brand new earth, and the holy city, the new Jerusalem, heaven, comes down out of heaven. I think it's satellites in relationship to that new earth. And God says, I make everything new. And when the powers of heaven and the angels that surround the throne are trying to condense that down into one statement, here's what they say. At last, the Creator gets to be with his people. God himself, at last, with no sin and separation, gets to dwell among his people, and his people get to see his face and dwell in his eternal blessing and presence. Isn't that something? Now go back, and I promise I quit. Chapter 11, where we started, look at it. All these died in faith, having received the promises. Abraham knew about a city foursquare. They saw them from a distance. I should say so, 4,000 years have gone by since then. They greeted them, they welcomed them, they embraced them, and they confessed that they were what? We're not part of this earth system any longer. We're not under the dominion of Satan, who is the prince of the power of the air. We're no longer bound to him by fear of death, and by his ability to excite within us what we call the sin nature and dominate our lives, first by fear and then by frustration. We're no longer part of that. We're no longer part of that. We are walking among the king's enemies. We are walking among those who speak with the of the serpent himself, who love rebellion against God, who love arrogant independence, who want nothing to do with the Creator, his word, his will, his plan. They're rebels. And of all things, Satan, the demonic hosts, have convinced them that they can actually find satisfaction, pleasure, fulfillment, and make the world right by their own personal intelligence. What folly! You're not part of that. I'm not part of that. We're strangers here. We're weirdos. We don't fit. Our citizenship is in heaven, as the verse goes on to say. Back there, even Abraham said, he confessed, we are foreigners, we're temporary residents on the earth. We are seeking a homeland. A homeland. And we're not looking for it on earth. We're looking for a heavenly one. When people say you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good, they're absolutely screwed up in their heads. You can't be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Unless you're heavenly minded, you are not earthly good. Not earthly good. Look how this verse finishes. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city. Amen. 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 Let it be so. So, dear friend, faith is not a ticket to heaven. That's a sidebar. It includes that. Faith is a share in the inheritance to the nature of God. Abraham got it. He got it. He understood the deal. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, Father, bless these dear friends. Help us to embrace these same promises, to greet them, to draw them to our bosoms. Help us to ingest them, to think about them, to dream about them. Help us to focus upon them. Help us. Take the scales off our eyes and illuminate us with a view of that future which flows out of your infinite grace and your incredible love. Give us great longing for that land that's fairer than day. Give us great inner yearning. Attune us to be plugged in there, even if that means we're terribly out of step with things here. Oh, Father, fill us with the same kind of faith that moved Abel in his choice of how he would honor you with sacrifice. That moved Enoch to choose what he would value and to seek to value you, the God he believed to be God, and the confidence that you respond, you reward those who seek you and seek your pleasure with full heart. It's the kind of faith, oh God, that drove Noah as he built the ark and looked beyond the ark. Help us to trust you like Abraham did. For Father, you tell us in your word that Abraham believed your word, and that is what you responded to when you called him righteous. Not his good works, but his faith, his confidence, his commitment to you. Oh Lord God, shake us, move us, ground us in the certainty and surety of your promises. Take from us the fear of death. Take from us the fear of all fear. And help us to find our fullness, our focus, our satisfaction, our delight in you. And help us to be lifting up our eyes. Help us to be focused on things above and beyond, and not confused or consternated by things that are here and now. That's what this chapter teaches us. And remind us that we're still here on this pilgrimage because there are others all around us who you love, and you are not willing that they should perish, and you want us to be witnessing in our lives, in our habits, in our words to them, that they might be part of this magnificent multitude of grace-born sons of God. Please help us to see that. Ignite a fire within our hearts, I pray. Now, Lord, till we meet again, may your blessing, your courage, your sweet gentleness bathe our hearts, infuse our minds, shape our thinking, and dictate our decisions. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen.
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 Are we willing to wait to receive our inheritance? I mean, wait like Abraham waited, and like Sarah waited, and like Eve would have to wait for that seed of the woman prophecy. Jim will have some thoughts about the females of faith in his next talk, but today and Monday we presented a sermon called Longing for a Heavenly City. It's part of our in-depth study of the letter to the Hebrews. The sermon can be yours on CD for a gift of $7 or more. And we have CDs of all 20 of the messages in our series, God's Ultimatum, Volume 2. They're available together as an album for your contribution of $69 or more. We're peeking at the second page of our 2024 calendar already, but in some ways it feels like 1968 at the very beginning of this radio ministry. We're still relying on listeners to catch the vision of Right Start and pitch in. Thank you, partners and family who have done that. The assignment from the Lord is still open. Please write Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA. Or call us at 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. And find us on the web at rightstartradio.org. There you can play radio programs or listen to complete sermons without the broadcast edits. To get future programs right on your phone, click that On iTunes link to try the podcast. And of course, you can send a donation, all at rightstartradio.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. Women are different than men. They have different roles in God's plan, but not less important roles. Tomorrow, Jim will show us the women's wing of the Faith Hall of Fame. Please join us for Wednesday's Right Start.